and a future. The Lord says, I know.
I know.
Whether you know yet or not, at least I know. The plans that I have for you.
Yes.
Whether you want to believe them or like them, I know I've got some plans for you.
Yes.
And Jeremiah says that is a declaration
from
the Lord.
Oh, yes,
and there are four things that he has promised. He says, I'm going to prosper you. That means I'm going to move you forward.
That's right.
I apologize to all these prosperity gods, but they ain't even on the scene no more. All these prosperity gospel preachers, the word prosper actually means to move forward, not to make you rich. He says, I promise to move you forward. I promise that even though when you think things are not going your way, and I'm not really trying to harm you. I'm really trying to teach you.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm going to give you hope.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you a spirit that everything gonna be all right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a spirit that everything is gonna work for your good.
Yes.
I'm gonna give you a spirit of expectation that you just won't come to church every Sunday because grandma told you to come.
All right.
Or because you'll feel better about yourself because you came, or because you ain't got nothing else to do on Sunday morning. I'm going to make you come into these gates and into these courts every Sunday expecting that the Holy Spirit will move like he has moved in this place.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Today,
yes, sir.
Stand up. Dr. Winnie Johnson.
Amen.
Dr. Winnie Johnson is the new principal of Forest Heights Elementary School. Stand up, Stephanie. Every time Stephanie sings, I know something about to happen up in here. Is Dr. Marilyn Frederick here? Is Dr. Marilyn Frederick here? She's not here this Sunday morning. Tell her she missed her. Shout out. She's the new principal of Blythewood Academy, one of our members who's been trying to be a principal forever and finally got her promotion.
All
the principals go here, Jeff, just in case you haven't. Mark, go here. Hartwell, go here. All of them go here, Jeff. Better change your membership. Brother Ruff. You better change your membership. I'm going to give you hope.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm going to give you a future.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make you expect something, and then what you have expected will come to pass.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm going to make you expect something. I'm going to give you the spirit of expectation, and if you walk in obedience, that which you have hoped for and waited for will come to pass in your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Independence Day is coming. You thought it was, it's the slowest people. You thought it was on last Tuesday. But Independence Day is coming. I ain't do it too much, maybe once or twice a year. This is my second one for the year. Tell your neighbor, Independence Day is coming. You thought it was Tuesday, but Independence Day is coming because the Lord says, I've got some plans for you.
All right.
And I'm going to give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
On July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress met in your beloved Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and signed the Declaration of Independence. It declared independence from Great Britain. It declared independence from the king and the crown. Interesting enough, the Declaration of Independence was signed 442 days after the American Revolution started at the River Battle of Lexington and Concord. Listen to me now. The Declaration of Independence was signed rather 442 days after the war began at Lexington and Concord. The Declaration of Independence, they declared their deliverance from Great Britain after the war had started, but the war then lasted 5 more years. They declared independence in the middle of their battle. But the battle raged on 5 more years. they declared their independence and their deliverance and their success in the midst of the battle.
Go ahead.
But the battle lasted 5 more years until 1791 at the Battle of Yorktown, where the war was over. I wish I had enough time to let somebody know that you might be delivered, but your battles and the war ain't over. As a matter of fact, the war actually really begins once you declare your independence and your deliverance from the devil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's when the war really begins. You said, I'm not smoking no more, but the next day somebody gonna bring you a cigarette.
Yes,
you declare, I'm not drinking no more, but at the next cookout somebody gonna offer, I wish I had a witness up in here. You said, I'm not gonna cheat no more. Oh, but 24, 36, 29, come by your house.
Yes, sir.
The battle.
Yes, sir.
Help me, somebody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Say it.
We don't become the United States of America until 1787. With the ratification of the United States Constitution. We declared our independence on July 4th, and you celebrated, and we celebrated on last Tuesday. But it would take 11 more years for us to become this nation we call the United States of America. As I was out of the country, celebrating our country.
All right.
I asked the Lord, because I'm on vacation, I ain't really thinking. What do you want me to preach after I get off vacation?
All right.
I ain't trying to study, Lord. I ain't trying to read nothing.
Yeah.
What do you say to your people? And the people help, because Roz knows that there was once in a time in my life that I preached what I wanted to preach. I would find a subject, this is what I want to talk about this Sunday, and then I find the scripture to back it up.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's dangerous. That's very dangerous, because what happens is if you create your own pretext for the context, and then you create your own content. Yeah. You have a pretext for the context, and then you create your own content. In other words, you want the scripture to say what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous, because you got to always make sure that you put the scripture in context.
That's right. Yes.
And so he said, make sure that when people say Jeremiah 29:11, they know what they're talking about. Oh, you got it on bumper stickers. You got it on Hallmark cards. We got a picture in our house for my wedding photo with that all around it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We always say that. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. You always say that. And we always say it, and we say it to ourselves, because we think that it's all about what the Lord is going to do for us. But this scripture ain't got nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right.
Nothing. We said we have, again, bumper stickers. We give people cards. For I know the plans I have for you, and it ain't even about you.
Yeah.
The pronoun you, if both singular and plural. And it's very difficult, because you don't know sometimes if it's talking to one individual or is it talking to a group. Because again, second person singular is you, second person plural is you, or in South Carolina, y'all. And I'm not here to split verbs or to teach you pronouns. I'm not here because to show you and impress you that I know pronouns, because Jeff showed up this Sunday. It ain't about semantics. And they may find something difficult and strange to talk about to impress the people, but this word actually is very prophetic for this moment in the history of our nation. As I was even out the country, and this other country celebrated our day the same way we celebrated it with cookouts and streamers and fireworks, the Lord reminded me and took me back to this passage and wants us to know this Sunday morning the true context of Jeremiah 29:11. The you in the passage is plural. It is not speaking to a singular individual. The you is speaking to a nation. For I know the plans I have for you is speaking to a nation, and specifically to the exiled persons who had been displaced from their country to Babylon. Jeremiah is really saying, I have a plan just for you all who are no longer in our country, who are in a foreign country, who are finding it hard to sing a new song in a strange land. I know that there's some false prophets, Roz, who told you all are going to be there for a short time and you will be back home soon. But I want to let you know that is not what the Lord has told me in my spirit as your prophet. As a matter of fact, y'all going to be there for at least 70 years. So don't keep your clothes in your suitcase.
Yes, sir.
For all y'all who go on vacation and you live out your suitcase, no, they got drawers there that... And a closet that you can hang your stuff up. Because you don't know when you live out your suitcase where your clothes clean or take your clothes out. And you're going to be there for a while. Might as well go ahead, get married, have some children, get you a plot of land, plant you some corn, because y'all going to be there for a while. But in spite of that painful reality, I've still got a plan for you. In spite of the fact that you are now living under the rule of a crazy man, I still got a plan.
In spite
of the fact that you don't even know America like you used to know America anymore, I still got a plan. Even though you still live in your city, in your state, and in your country, you still feel like you are spiritually exiled. I still got a plan for it. Even though you don't feel that you're no longer in the home of the land of the free and the home of the brave, I still got a plan for it. Even though you don't feel like you should even sing the songs of Zion anymore because of the current Nebuchadnezzar in the White House,
Yes, sir.
I still got a plan for you. And my plan is to give you hope and a future. When you see your young black boys being killed because of a broken tail, like I still got a plan for you. When you can't lift up the name of Jesus anywhere and like you got that smoke outside everywhere, you still got a plan for you. When you don't know whether your loved one and your neighbor gonna be here today or tomorrow back to where they come from, I still got a plan for you. And this plan again is for those who have been exiled, taken from Judah, now living in Babylon, away from Jerusalem and the temple. And Jeremiah says, don't give up. God still has a plan for our nation. I just stopped by just a few days after the celebration of independence to let you know God still has a plan for our nation. When you can sit your daughter at the table of other presidents and potentates who ain't got no knowledge
and mercy
other than shoes.
That's right.
We pray that God has a plan and it don't take 70 years for it to come to pass. But even if it does,
okay.
That's why he says, I got to give you hope And I've got to make you expect that a change is on the way. He tells them early in Jeremiah 29 that the change is on the way. You just got to wait for it and believe that it's coming to pass. And if you do not claim your exile nature in your spirit, you will be free. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to be with my Lord. Even though they were in the bondage of slavery, even though they were cultivating cotton in the Carolinas, even though they were whipped and stoned and raped, they would sing, before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home in slavery. But they never believed it. They never allowed themselves to feel like they were slaves or they were property or they were second-class citizens. That's why they didn't believe it. That's why they could live. Because God's got a plan to give you hope and a future. God is really telling us in Jeremiah 29 that God is the God of redemption. That God is the God who will redeem us and even will redeem our nation. God even will forgive us for electing our own Nebuchadnezzar.
Have mercy.
It's in the word. He will forgive us. As a matter of fact, everybody who voted for him right now, who about to lose their health care. Yeah. You voted for your health care to go. How you an immigrant and vote for him and now you got to go? All them doing just like God did. God even had to repent. You read 1 Samuel 5 when you get 15 when you get home. God even repented. God even says when I made Saul the king, the Bible says God repented. That means that God's had to admit I made a mistake.
All right.
Yes, the God that we preach about can't fail, can if he wants to. Invite me back, I'll talk to you about that. But you read it if you don't believe me. 1 Samuel 15:11. God said I had to repent because I allowed y'all to make Saul your king. I told you you didn't need no king in the first place. But you all begged for one, so I gave you one. Now you want to give him back. Every now and then, baby, you got to pray that you make good prayers. And every now and then, you got to be careful for what you pray for. All of us who went to our 20th and our 25th class reunion, we saw who we wanted for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
We saw that apple that done turned into... Let me stop right now. Paul piggybacks on Jeremiah, in my favorite scripture, Romans 8:28. Paul piggybacks when he says, for we know again, for we know. See, this word is about knowledge. For I know the plans and for I know. You don't find the Bible of God saying, I think. He says, for I know that all things work together for good to them that love God who are called according to his purpose. For I know all things work together for good for them that love God. Them, third person plural means all of us. Jeremiah says you, which is to a group of exiled citizens in Babylon. Juxtapose against Paul who says to them, that's all of us. He says everything will work together for our good. For those of us who qualify for it to work for our good. And all of us can qualify for it. This plan that Jeremiah is talking about in Jeremiah 29 is just for an exclusive group of people who have been exiled. But Paul says that everybody can have your works work out for your good if you love God. And if you're called according to his purpose, and being called according to his purpose does not mean that you're living on your purpose, but you're living on his commandments. Say that one more again because you done got quiet on me. That it says that if you live according to my rules, my regulations, and be obedient to what I have asked you to do, then everything.
Everything. Yes, sir.
I said everything. Any everything believers in the house this morning, everything will work together for You're good. Paul again speaks to us and lets us know that these plans that God has for you will come to pass if you love him with all your heart and if you're called according to his purpose. And I want to thank God for the plan that he's had for today. And the plans that he orchestrated for me personally last week. Before I got on the plane to go out of town with my family. I got several texts and a few calls from members here about what a wonderful time you all had last Sunday up in here. Some people put it on Facebook. And you got to be very careful when you're the pastor.
That's right.
And you get calls about your guest preacher.
Because
you really don't know what they're telling you. You don't know if they really were excited about how the Holy Ghost moved last Sunday. Or they trying to tell you don't come back. You got to be careful because you don't know what people are really telling you. They might be saying we got a better preacher. Stay there as long as you need to stay. But I got several calls, text messages, and Facebook posts about what happened up in here last Sunday. So I had to see it for myself. And I called our media team. Thank God for email that can reach you out the country. And I said, send me what happened on last Sunday. And I watched and listened to what happened up in here last Sunday to see what I had to deal with. Now I had to take my pulpit back on this Sunday. Sometimes you got to look at the competition. Be ready for four. And I saw something last Sunday that I've never seen in my life. A preacher participating in audience participation.
Yes.
Never seen it, and I thought it was the most ingenious, innovative thing I ever seen.
Yes.
Never have seen it in that way. Every preacher wants you to talk back, but we ain't never giving you the mic to talk back. Some of y'all got mics in your throats already. Can you imagine us giving you a mic? We can hear you all the way from the back door.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Never seen, and I thought it was so innovative. And I texted him and I emailed him and I said, man, it was the most innovative, impactful thing I've seen.
It was.
And I thank God that you are my partner
in
ministry.
Yes, sir.
And I listen. Twice.
Amen.
Listen on Monday.
All right.
4th of July was on Tuesday. And I listened again on Wednesday. And I listened carefully for the testimonies of our people and their praise reports.
Amen.
Celebrated Independence Day that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Celebrated even in another country, our country's independence. The day that we celebrate with family and friends our freedom. And I heard the testimony of one of our members who talked about what July 4th means to her. And I won't call her name just in case anybody works for immigration, customs, and enforcement or part of the Trump administration in here. But this woman confessed to us last Sunday that she jumped the fence. If you weren't here, get the tape. She confessed to us last Sunday that she jumped the fence on July 4th. That you might just want to barbecue and shoot little firecrackers, but July 4th means everything to her. For on July 4th, 41 years ago, she came from Panama and she told you she jumped the fence. Well, I had to find out what fence she jumped. Because I knew there was a word right there. So I said, my sister, I ain't going to call her name because you ain't going to turn her in. What fence did you jump? And she didn't want to tell me because the fence is in Mexico.
All right. All right. Go ahead.
She and her family traveled from the lowest country in Central America, geographically, which is Panama at the tip of Central America. Look at it when you get home. All the way to Mexico, which is the most northern country in Central America, just to get to America. She came from the bottom. All the way. Oh, I wish Drake was up in here today. I started at the bottom. You know, the only job you start in at life on the top as a grave digger. That's the only people who start at the job on top are grave diggers. But most of us started at the bottom. Can I get a witness up in here? You started in the mail room. You started as a teacher's assistant, but now you the principal. Can I get a witness up? You got to start at the bottom. But now I'm here. Say yes. I said, now I'm here. She started at the bottom. And she told us on last Sunday that she had to jump the fence. In other words, that fence he's trying to build right now.
Go ahead.
She had already jumped it. The fence he's trying to build right now to keep us and them out. She already jumped it. The fence that tried to hold back her blessing. She's already jumped it. 41 years ago, she had to jump a fence to get her freedom and her independence. She had to jump a gate to get her freedom and her independence. 41 years ago, she had to jump a gate to get her freedom and her independence and her deliverance. 41 years ago, she had to jump a gate. I said she had to jump a gate. I said she had to jump a gate. But I'm here to declare unto her and unto you, when the battle is over, ain't no more gates we got to jump. For there are 12 gates in the north, 12 gates in the south, 12 gates on the east, and 12 gates in the west. And some glad morning, when this life is over, we gonna all walk through that gate. Can I get a witness up in here? You ain't got to jump no more. You ain't got to climb no more for the battle. I said, the battle, it's not yours, it is the Lord's. Say it, say it, say it. Stand on your feet.